This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement is due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else. Attention, 97.3 The Fan listeners. If you're drowsy, sluggish, or feeling fatigued, you're about to get your afternoon boost with Tony Quinn Jr.
I was outside the room and I saw Adam come sprinting in. I was like, what happened? Hot mic. That's all I heard.
Chris Ello.
Dak Prescott speaking of things that are off.
And Matt Scraby.
Sam must be a liker of his job.
Don't blame us for any side effects.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
Gwen and Chris are ready to go.
And about an hour from now, the Aztec basketball team, the men, will step out on the floor. And Dayton will be taking on the... Who? North Carolina. What is that?
I believe they're called the Tar Heels.
Seems kind of a silly name.
It's definitely
it?
Silly.
Yeah. 6:10 start for the play-in game. St. Francis, PA, leads Alabama State 46-40. They're underway in the second half of the first game of the evening. March Madness. Scrape, you haven't filled out your brackets yet, I hear.
I'm going to tomorrow. It's been, I don't know if you know, it's been kind of a busy week.
We've been working. I was able to fill my brackets out because I did the old not think about it bracket this year.
Wait, did you just select the automatic fill?
No, I would never do
okay.
that.
All right.
No, I'd never do that. But I went through each game and said, you know, they'll win type of thing. And I got, you know... I can't do what Jay Billis did and give you 1-1-1-1 as the final four. Really has bothered me that Jay Billis would do that.
When you fill out your bracket, I'm curious. Do you go through and mm-hmm. then you go through each matchup and then you look at the end and you see how you like how you ended up? Like, do you go back through each bracket before you move on to the next bracket, or do you go through each round before you move on to the next round?
I do the entire first round.
You do the entire first
round?
For
the whole tournament.
And then you move in
from there.
And then
I go to the highest, to the second round.
Okay.
Of the whole tournament.
I guess that's how everybody does it, right?
Mm-hmm. I think some people might pick one region at a time.
Oh, yeah, that's
or
true.
Or some people might...
No, you're right.
Some people might actually fill in their final four and then work back to, like, how they arrive at their final four. I think some people do that.
Because when I go through everything. I fill them all out. I don't even think twice about it. And then I go back and I see my final four, and I'm like, oh, that's all number ones.
You didn't like that.
So I got to go back and change it somewhere. But then I'm overthinking at that point.
It's here's the one thing that I think everybody should do with their brackets, because I know most people fill out, like, 15 brackets, right? You have to decide on one bracket that's your real bracket. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here's my point. You could pick a number 15 seed to beat a number 2 seed on one bracket, But then on the other 20 brackets, you don't pick it. If it happens, you don't get credit for that.
I agree with
you. You see
that.
What I mean?
You're the just only, taking a chance.
Yeah. I mean, you're filling out so many different brackets that you're going to be right on a couple of them. You hear people want, oh, I had that 14 over the 3. Yeah, you might have, but was that your
real seventh bracket?
In your seventh bracket. What I want you to do is give me one bracket. You get one. You can fill out a bunch, but call one your real bracket. And that's the one you got to go with.
See,
that's the way I think it should work. I don't know if a lot everybody does that, but that's what I do. You get one bracket only.
Well, I know that you're a one fantasy football league guy. I'm also, I'm a five fantasy football league guy.
That's right, you are.
But with brackets, it's just
I think you
one.
Should just have one.
Just one.
You can't fill out, I'm picking Hofstra. There you go. I put that in for Frank. I'm picking Hofstra to beat Duke. And then if they do it, you say, I got that one. Well, you do if it's on your real bracket.
Yeah.
But you don't do it if it's like one of your 25 brackets.
That's true.
But
I do agree with that.
Okay, good. Speaking of that, everybody go to 973thefansd.com and find the Scrabinator bracket challenge.
Yeah, I'm trying to find,
because we need some more people to sign up. You got between now and tomorrow, right? Or Thursday morning, I guess.
Yes.
To get signed up. But everybody do a bracket. Let's have some fun and see who wins that.
We have a post on Facebook, 97.3 The Fan. It's a little bit down the page. We also have one on Twitter. I have retweeted it on my Twitter as well, at Matt Scraby. Our Twitter is at 97.3 The Fan SD.
Okay.
Those are all the places you can get it. But the best place, if you don't have social media, go to 973thefansd.com, and I'm sorry, but you gotta go to the bottom of the page.
Oh my god, you gotta scroll down.
You gotta scroll down, and
even
you'll see
I
a
can
final
do that.
Four picture.
Even I can do that.
And you click that picture.
And you're on your way.
And you're on your way. We got about, this morning I checked, I think like 73 signups.
That's
decent. Decent.
Yeah,
I mean, more people sign up as we get closer to Thursday.
I'm thinking, a couple thousand by the time we're done.
Oh god, We're not going to reach that, Chris.
We're not
gonna
make that.
I hate to tell you that.
Why don't people want to do it?
Because we don't have a prize attached to
it. Oh, yeah. That's true.
But bragging the reason rights. That we can do this is because we don't have a prize attached to it. When we attach a prize through the radio station, we have to drop legal rules. We have to go through our lawyers.
Yeah.
So
no
this,
good.
I asked Adam, how do I ask the people in charge?
Right.
How do I get this out here so that we don't have anything?
We don't want all
and
of that.
They said, don't attach a prize.
We don't want all of that.
Hellable. All right. I can do that.
Bragging rights is a pretty good thing. I will say, do you know, because you've won the fantasy football twice or once? No, you
once,
won it once.
Once.
You won the baseball twice.
Yes.
So you had a good little...
Yes, thank you. Back
to back. I know you did.
Draft is on Saturday. Champ is here.
Here we go. How much money did you win in the three leagues combined? Do you know?
Zero.
Okay. Well, you won in the football. We pay a little
bit.
But my point is nobody really remembers in the end how much you win. You remember that you won it. You're excited. That's the bragging right is the prize.
You know where my fantasy football winnings went? Right to my car payment.
Ah.
That's basically, I just put everything on the car. I think I won like $800.
Something like
our
that.
League.
Yeah, we don't win a lot.
No. But the other league, the baseball leagues that I've won twice, I choose to win the leagues that don't have any money attached to
that's
it.
That's smart. Yeah, that's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Rod just completed his bracket. Thank you very much, Rod. Appreciate you.
Attaboy, Rod.
Yes.
We got our interview with Dylan Cease coming up shortly, and then Jason Adams going to close for us today.
Which is fitting.
But it was pretty funny. Earlier today, Jason Adam did his interview first. Dylan Cease replaced him. So they had reverse roles earlier
very strange.
Here in the backyard.
It was very
strange. In the back patio.
In the backyard.
But you'll hear it in the order of Dylan Cease and then Jason Adam. It's coming up shortly. Dodgers won. They beat the Cubs 4-1 in the middle of the night. If you were wondering, the Padres are already a half game out of first place in the NL West. Dodgers and Cubs play again tonight in the middle of the night. Roki Sasaki is starting for the Dodgers. Everyone in San Diego is going to really be cheering for the Cubs.
Yeah.
I know it's one game, but you don't want this guy to go out there and, shove for seven innings.
I kind of have a feeling he's going to.
Well, if the Cubs of last night are any indication, he probably will. I mean, Yamamoto had them like they had no chance the Cubs. But I'd like to see Sasaki struggle. All right, let's say this. I'd like to see him struggle mightily.
I would love that.
He should have come to San Diego where he could have been, you know, big time. Instead, he's going to be in L.A. where if he has a couple bad games, he's going to be out of the rotation.
Guess what, Chris? I don't even want him anymore. He didn't choose the Padres. He didn't choose San Diego. He also told us that he was a humble guy who doesn't like attention, but then asked every team for secrets on how to get his fastball back. And then the other stuff about him having someone recommended Tommy John surgery to him, a doctor, and he was like, nah, I'm good. So I'm fine. Get out of here, Sasaki.
The news that Yu Darvish has a little inflammation in his throwing.
No, that's not good.
Elbow. Elbow or shoulder? I think it was elbow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Schilt announced that today. Kind of had me thinking that Sasaki wouldn't be all that bad at this point.
I think.
Because right now, we have Cease. We have Michael King. We have Nick Pivetta. We have question marks. And we have question marks.
Yeah, we got.
So, you know.
We got Kyle Hart. He's going to be in the rotation as well.
Kyle's going to answer some of those questions.
Absolutely will be.
But, you know, Darvish being hurt opens up a spot.
It does. It does.
Maybe for Kyle, who just walked by.
Yeah, he walked by. And you know what I've been hearing about Kyle, and I want to whisper now because he's in with an earshot, is that he is secretly pushing behind the scenes, like the coaching staff, to seriously consider him for that fifth spot in the rotation.
Well, with Darvish leaving it open, Kyle Hart's chances increased.
Definitely.
Tremendously.
Now, does it worry you at all that Darvish went from sore elbow fatigue to all of a sudden you got swelling,
inflammation
and things like that?
Yeah. I said it yesterday. He's middle 30s. Darvish. That's old.
No, he's almost 40.
Okay, late 30s.
Yeah.
That's really old for a pitcher. Look up, see how old he is.
I think he's 38 or 39.
Well, the good news is Darvish knows his arm, his body, everything about how to be ready and how to pitch. So
he's 38. He'll turn 39 in August.
Okay. But yeah, when you're older, inflammation worries me.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when it goes from arm fatigue to elbow inflammation.
When you have arm fatigue in March, it's kind of early in the season to have it.
What was he doing?
Doesn't you think?
This is just throwing fastballs all off season?
He asked me these things.
I mean, yeah. I don't understand it. But, as we've said a million times, and as I have to keep telling myself, they don't need him for the first part of the year. They can hold out.
They're going to need him. They need him. He's got to pitch innings.
At some point, they do, yes.
He's got to pitch innings for this team. But it looks like Darvish is not going to – I don't think he'll be on the opening day roster. I think he'll be on the IL.
I don't think that's a surprise.
And Waldron will be on the IL. And my prediction is at least two or three position players that you're not thinking about will be on the IL so that everyone can make it.
This roster
– that's my prediction –
is becoming a really tough thing to predict.
We've
talked
about this.
There's so many guys that have – made themselves known here in the last couple weeks, and they're continuing to push. This is why we don't get paid the big bucks, Chris. We don't have to make those decisions.
Yeah, we kind of do, because our listeners want us to tell them who's going to be on the opening day roster.
Well, we can give them our guess, but...
We could call Mel Kiper and see what he thinks.
Oh, Mel Kiper doesn't know anything about baseball. Are you kidding me?
Or football.
Yeah.
As it turns out. Check of traffic is coming up, and then... Back to the interviews with Dylan Cease on the Gwynn and Chris program from Peoria. Hi, welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ella, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby from Peoria. Final day of our Padre broadcast. We'll be back in San Diego tomorrow. Tony, of course, will still be here for just a little while longer. Couple day. I mean, the season starts next Thursday. That's amazing.
It does. Yeah.
Amazing.
Everybody has that feeling to them, too, like it's almost over. You could see the light at the end of the tunnel for them.
Yeah, like spring training was exciting for the first 3 weeks. Now they can't wait for it to be over.
Well, it's kind of...
Type of thing.
This is like some sort of limbo. You do the same thing every single day for 6 weeks.
And then you do the same thing every day for 6 months.
But it's more fun when you're doing it in major league stadiums.
It's
and
for
things
real.
Count.
It's for real, yeah. All right, Dylan Cease. He's going to be a big part of it. We know that. He was nice enough to spend a few minutes with Tony and I earlier today. Let's hear from the no-hit pitcher.
Back at it again. We are continuing our visit with the San Diego Padres and one of the aces of this staff, Dylan Cease, joins us here now. Dylan, how's spring been going for you? It's been kind of a slow buildup, but it does seem like you're starting to hit your stride right now.
Yeah, it's going good. I've pretty much gotten everything I need out of it. You know, velo's there, shapes are mostly there, so still working on consistency, but I like where I'm at.
As far as coming into this season and coming off a just a great year for you and for this team, what kinds of things are you focused on? I mean, how do you keep telling yourself, I got to get this better and that better?
Yeah. I mean, right now, really, it's kind of just the building blocks of everything, getting the body in shape, getting the focus right. I don't know. I feel like that's just honestly a never ending part of baseball in the game, really. If you're not doing that, you're going to get passed up eventually. So I think most good players kind of have the mindset of if they can add or get better in an area, they're going to go for it.
You've certainly already begun to kind of do that this season. You've been talking a little bit about adding the changeup to your repertoire. And
that's not fair, by the way.
you would think so, right? I mean, you pretty much have a pitch that can kind of do a little bit of everything. And so now you add in this direction to your arsenal. How has that process been going? I know you had experimented a little bit a couple starts ago. I didn't see the last one. Did you get to mix in a few more of those changeups?
Yeah, I got two strikeouts on it last.
Okay, hey, nice. All right.
I don't think it's ever going to be a big, crazy movement pitch. But for me, it just giving another look to lefties, something bottom of the zone, hopefully, and change of speed. It's not going to be, a 70 grade pitch for me, but just something else to keep in their minds and keep them off balance and kind of balance out the repertoire.
You know, we as fans and in the media, we probably do this totally different than you do it. But during the offseason, your name keeps coming up. I don't know that any of it was even remotely true. I don't know.
I don't either.
Right. How do you couch that, though? Or do you just read it and move on? I mean, because it's got to stick with you a little bit.
No, I mean, I'm pretty good at just staying focused on trying to get ready. You know, like the game's hard enough as is. If you're going to add any extra baggage in an area, it's not going to be beneficial. So really, I just want to be good at the game, provide value, execute, win. And that's mainly just what I focus on. So all the other stuff is sort of just there and I just ride with it. You know,
I have no power of any kind, but I just want you to know that I was among those who said, don't even think about trading Dylan Cease, please.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Dylan, let me ask you, I mean, this is as you continue to clock these different spring trainings. From the time you were a rookie to now where you are in your career, is there anything different for you? I mean, you come into spring, you're a well-established big leaguer at this point. How do you come in? Is there a difference than how you have come in the past now, this spring training?
Yeah, I think in the past, a lot of times I would be, my first pen sitting 99 and not that I wasn't ready to go, but amped up from the beginning where I'm allowing myself to have more of a buildup and more of a, a gradual buildup.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's funny. I don't really come in like with the mindset that I've made the team and I come in not nervous isn't the right word, but it's like, I got things to work on and I got, basically I need to improve every day, every week.
There's
so,
a timeline to it.
Yeah, there's a timeline to it. It's not like a vacation by any means. It's like a, we're building up. We got things to do. I don't really feel like I'm just, I made it. I can just kind of coast by any means.
Michael King yesterday was named the opening day starter, and he was quick to tell all of us that the first person to congratulate him was Dylan Cease. And, yeah, I think that speaks a lot to the relationship you guys all have on this pitching staff. Just talk a little bit about, rooting for each other and how it works here in San Diego for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's, the team camaraderie is a big part of it. We all enjoy each other. I think we feed off each other. And at the end of the day, we want each other to succeed. So
yeah.
He's nasty. He's going to do great. And yeah, I think we just, we genuinely care about each other. You know, it's the biggest thing. There's not much more to say about it. We really like each other, you know,
as we were waiting, you know, for Jason's interview before we got it, it took a little bit because a conversation broke out at the back table over there. And it looked as though there was a conversation about the ball and how it was moving. And I know I caught a conversation earlier in camp between you and Darv over there.
Yeah.
How often do these random pitching conversations pop up with you guys? Because you guys are all very cerebral pitchers. And I imagine, and you guys all love the game. So how often do those type of conversations break out?
I would say daily. I mean, it really, you know, for real, it's one of those things where everybody has different strengths and everyone does something well. So, you know, you got a guy like Michael who he's probably asking Michael about his changeup, how he gets run on it or whatever. And I mean, we're always just picking each other's brains, trying to, you know, get even just a little bit better. Yeah. So, and it's not just spring training. It's all year. In the off season,
so it's not just at the yard. You guys get a text from one another, and it takes off.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're constantly, constantly talking to each other and seeing what's working. You know, it's at the end of the day, Ruben and everyone and the staff is great, but we're also out there getting, you know, the reps with stuff and
real
time
info.
Yeah, real time and seeing what's working and so a lot of times your fellow players can also be great coaches. You know, if you're willing to listen.
Yeah.
Dylan, July 25th last year, I mean, I don't want to say everything changed, but when you get a no-hitter at the big league level, that's such a great accomplishment, especially for this organization. And I'm sure you've been asked too many times about it, but do you allow yourself once in a while to get back in that moment and say that was pretty special?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't thought about it in a while. Every once in a while, I throw up on YouTube and enjoy it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, no, it's definitely special. I just feel like there's more to do, so I don't hang on to it. I'm sure when my career is over towards the end, it's going to be one of those where I'll really, really harp on it. But right now, you know, I've kind of just let it go, but it is one of those things that's extremely special, and I love talking about it. So anytime you guys want to bring it up, we can do a full podcast about it if you want, as long as you want.
Dill, let me ask you before we let you out of here. I mean, you're seven, I believe, for you. Does Dylan Cease have a goal that he sets or goals that he sets for himself every year, really no matter the circumstance?
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest ones for me is taking the ball every 5 days. You know, other than that, there's a lot out of my control. But if I do that, I know I'm you
You're
know,
available.
Doing a big part of it. Obviously, you want to have quality with quantity. So I don't have any numbers per se. It's more just focus, preparation, make sure all that's good, and then show up and compete, really.
And I just want last thing, because I remember when we first had you on, when you first got here, I asked you about your mustache, and you said, well, that's what I got for now, but don't be surprised if I go somewhere else. Got the beard this spring.
Yeah.
Do we know where we're going next, or is it just kind of happens as it happens?
We'll see how it performs.
Okay.
It's a good start to the year. It's hard to change things up.
Okay.
Now I do get bored fairly easily, unfortunately. So if I'm just going and things are going well, but I get bored, I could go clean shave and I go mustache. Huh? I can cut my hair. You know, it's, I like to, just kind of go with the flow.
It's a fluid situation. Yeah,
very fluid.
Well, Dylan, we appreciate your time, man. We know you got to get in there for this meeting. Good luck to this for this season, and much health, 100% health.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you guys.
Dylan Cease, ladies and gentlemen. Yep.
Chris Hella with the hard-hitting beard questions there.
I was just telling you off the air, I think that the beard might be the most asked thing to Dylan Cease this offseason.
I'm sure it is. But the only reason I followed up is because when he first got here, the mustache was the thing.
Yeah.
And he informed us then. He said, you know, sometimes I go beard. And now he's gone beard.
He's got a better beard than I do.
He's got a thicker beard than you.
Oh, yeah.
Yours is better
manicured.
Yours is better manicured. I got to give you the nod.
If I was a professional baseball player, it would be all over the place.
Why? Trust.
Because I don't want to.
Would you want to be like Charlie Blackman?
Shaving.
Like Charlie Blackman, always, as much as I, you know, thought Charlie was kind of cool and interesting, it looked a little much.
It did look, especially for hot places during the summer.
I'll tell you, he's got the worst beard in baseball, though.
Oh, let me guess.
You know who it is. Brandon Marsh.
Oh, he doesn't have a beard. Does he?
Yeah, with the hair and then the beard. And he
washes a beard. You're right.
He waters his hair
down all about
before
the hair.
Every inning.
I know all about the hair, and that just grosses me out.
It looks greasy. Brandon, why? Why?
He said he loves it.
We don't.
Like, who? I know there are tons of women listening in the audience right now. How many of you like to wet down your hair and just leave it like that forever without, like, blow-drying it or drying it in any form? Just pouring water and then leaving.
Better yet, any of the lovely ladies out there, dial up a quick picture of Brandon Marsh and let Scraby know what you think.
I'm good. I already know what they think. I'm pretty sure.
Jason Adam, we think that he is the greatest, honestly, and he's going to be our final interview from Peoria. That comes up after a short break on Gwen and Chris. All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. We have one final segment from Peoria, then we must get on up out of here. We don't have to go home, but we got to get out of here. We got one interview left. Jason Adam will join us shortly. There's an NCAA basketball tournament game right now. Alabama State trailed the entire way, but not anymore. Alabama State 66, St. Francis of PA 62. They're coming down to the last 4 minutes there.
I hate that you're even reporting on this, because the only reason then you're giving into the NCAA, and the reason that they're doing this is because they want money and blah 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 blah. Do people really care about two 16 seeds playing? And I'm not trying to make fun of you. I'm just asking.
I don't know. Just the fact it's the start of the tournament.
Okay.
It's the first game.
All right, I could buy that. I could buy
it's
that.
Crazy.
I could buy that.
There's actually a minute 36 left. So I'm just hoping it gets over so the Aztecs get out on the court on time.
Yeah, that would be nice. I see what you're doing. You're just following the game that's before them.
I am.
Okay.
You got the starting lineup for the Aztecs, and there's pretty good news in
yes.
that starting lineup.
And now.
Well, I want to hear, don't we have the organ? That's baseball, though,
yeah.
But I think it would be appropriate for
Frank,
the
play something.
The Aztecs starting lineup for the NCAA tournament. All right, there we go. We'll take
Frank,
that.
Man, Frank. I wish I was as smart as Frank to use the Aztecs theme song.
Good job, Frank.
The starting lineup for your San Diego State Aztecs. Nick Boyd. Miles Bird. B.J. Davis. Jared Coleman-Jones. And our favorite player, Magoo Gwath. How was that, Chris?
Pretty good.
Thank you.
Got me riled up.
Magoon Gwath back in the starting lineup, everybody.
And while you were announcing that, St. Francis just tied the game with 30 seconds to go. They're probably going to overtime. The Aztecs will have to wait. Anyway.
Why don't they put more cushion in between these games? I don't understand it.
You know, that is a good question. They give it the old two-hour window.
It's not a two-hour game anymore.
Right. No games get played in the two-hour window.
You air 2 hours worth of commercials.
You know, during the regular season, Aztec fans know exactly what you're talking about. Because the game will be on CBS Sportsnet at 6 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
But you turn it on at 6 o'clock, you got to watch the last 7 minutes of the Villanova-Marquette game.
Yeah.
Because they're running over. That happens every time.
Don't care about either of those teams.
I know. So I get, you know, you're totally hitting it on the head. There was one coaching move made today in college basketball. I found it to be semi-interesting. The West Virginia coach... And his name is like Daniels or something like that. I don't have it in front of me because I'm watching this. But he almost got them into the tournament. They got, you know, they got left out.
Darian DeVries.
Thank you. I said Daniels. DeVries. Okay. Mr. DeVries is now the head coach at Indiana. He's moved on. Away from West Virginia, where they didn't make it. Now the governor, I guess, can sue everybody. Can sue the NCAA for putting Carolina in. He can sue Indiana for stealing his coach. The governor of West Virginia can just go hog wild. Sue anybody.
It's just so strange to me, these coaches sometimes. It's like the coach was upset they didn't make it. He's not upset anymore.
No, he's
fine. He took another job, and he's going to Indiana.
He may not even been upset in the first place. He must have known. He probably knew he was going to Indiana.
That's true. That stuff does drive me nuts.
Well, and it's when stuff like that happens that it's hard to complain about the kids.
You can't complain about
transferring and taking money to go play somewhere. As a matter of fact, our old friend Steve Alford had a big comment the other night that he thinks the whole system is broken and the kids are making too much money and et cetera. And somebody tweeted back, never heard anybody complain about the coaches making an absurd amount of money to coach. And that's true, is it not? College coaches make
a lot.
Like 12, 15. How much does Patino, somebody like that, make? Right? So, you know,
he may have had to take a pay cut just to get back in.
Patino might not be the best example, but you know what I mean? These college basketball and football coaches make an insane amount of money. And so for them, it seems a little tone deaf to be complaining about what the players are making.
Real quick, we have to move on because we got traffic and then we got Jason Adam. But Andrew Weekly is this week or today's biggest fan. Call us 833-288-0973 in the next 10 minutes. And you will have your chance to win the grand prize, which is 20 tickets in the Odyssey Suite. Andrew Weekly. I'm sorry, people. I forgot again.
No, you didn't. You got it in.
But we promised between 5:30 and 5:35.
Yeah, well, that's who's counting. All right, here's traffic, and then Jason Adam wraps it up for us, our final interview from Peoria. Continuing our visits at spring training in Peoria, Padres spring training, and really happy to be joined by Padres reliever Jason Adam joining us. And all I remember about last year is one of our Friar Friday interviews was with Jason Adam. Yeah. And I remember it was my favorite one, like of the whole year. It's fun to get to catch up with you again. What are you working on this spring? What does Jason Adam work on? Somebody who hardly ever allows a base runner. Sorry about that, but I mean, it really is crazy. Come on.
No. I'm very thankful for how last year went. But this year's I've actually had a lot to work on. I think I came in feeling great, and then I had a few good outings, like result-wise, but I knew I wasn't quite right. So I've been working on just getting that feel back for it. When you're right, it just feels like a slingshot. It feels easy.
Yeah.
So I was chasing that, and now within the last few days, I've been feeling that more. So now I can shift from that whole process into more just now as season's, 8 days away, I can just focus on trying to execute pitches and competing.
Talk a little bit about that, because I saw the first three outings where the results were anything that anybody would want. But speak to the mindset of knowing in the moment that you're getting these outs and you're getting the results, but you just know that something isn't right. And so you're also attacking that while you're getting good results. So how do you convince yourself at that point? There's still work to be done here.
Yeah, that's something I've learned a lot about just in the last few years of my career. Like, you really, if you hang your hat on the results, it may work for a little, but there's a lot of days you go out there, you can punch out the side with bad mechanics and bad pitches. Mm. And so if you're evaluating your day on the results, oh, yeah, it was a great day, and then you're going to go out and do that the next time, and maybe it works that time, or maybe you give up a grand slam, you know, right. So especially in spring training, I try to really evaluate the process. How is my body moving? How are the pitches coming out of my hand? I'm big on how it feels coming out of my hand, because it starts ground up. Like, if my feet are right, my legs are right, my legs are right, my hips, it goes up, and it results in the ball feeling clean off the fingertips. And I wasn't feeling that.
So do you know if it's not coming out of your hand well, that something below
from your
waist down is not working properly?
Exactly. So then it's just a game of, all right, what is it? So I can tell when something's not right. I just can't always tell what it is.
Right.
Which is why I love Ruben and Frenzy and the whole team here. They can help me put my finger on it. And I feel like it's never just one thing either, but I feel like we've got a good handle on it. And so the results have been trash the last few outings, but the process, I'm really pleased with the process and how in the strides we've made in the right direction, so that I can feel confident. Because the stuff at the beginning of spring, I was like, yeah, I can get the job done with this, but this isn't going to be our maximum.
If it makes you feel any better, we had Ruben on yesterday, and he said he kind of liked the fact that you guys have given up some runs and some base runners.
He brought up the
he
fact
wants you
that
guys to work with a little difficulty out there.
The fact
so
that Morty Hone and a couple, I think it was Estrada, haven't really had any traffic.
Yeah.
You don't get those reps working on those type of things. So in some ways, he was kind of happy this is happening to
you. Yep, yep, you're welcome.
Yeah. What's your game day like? Not necessarily prior to the game, but once a game starts. Jason Adam, to me, is synonymous with the eighth inning, but we don't know. It could be a little different. So how do you take yourself through a game, early innings, middle innings, and then – later innings.
Yeah. So here it's been great. Schilty and Fritzy and Ruben, they communicate like, hey, this is probably your pocket. You know, and it changes by the day. It changes the point of the season we're at, who we're playing, all that. But say my pocket's like, hey, you're going to be seventh or eighth when this group comes up.
Okay.
And so I just prepare around that. So I can watch the game around the fourth inning. I start getting the body moving. And then I just keep moving and progressing my routine so that I can be peaking right at the seventh inning. And then if I don't throw the seventh, I'm throughout the seventh inning, I'm doing a little more movement just to stay hot. And part of the movement too, it just gets you in the frame of mind. Once you start moving and prepping, you're like, all right, it's game time. Cause the first four innings, you're watching the game, but it's laid back.
And are you in the bullpen first four innings, or do you like to be in the dugout and then go out? Or
no, I'm in the bullpen.
Okay.
I mean, it's just, I love it out there. It's
I'm sure there's some great banter going on.
Yeah, these guys are.
I don't want to miss out on that.
That's a fraternity that only they are allowed to be a part of. Right?
I always found myself so fascinated by the pitchers, the teams that I've been on, because their group is just different, man. Yeah. They get along completely different than I think the rest of the guys do, and I've always been fascinated. You kind of opened my mind up to some of the things you were talking about today as it pertained to the ball not coming out right, and the fact that Fritzy and Ruben can help you kind of get your finger on it. Mm-hmm. How has that changed over the past, really since when you first came into the league? It would seem like the answers are at your disposal a lot easier than they were when you first came into the league. And I think that's just so fascinating to be able to go to the screen, say, okay, this is what we're seeing, and then be able to make adjustment in the very next pitch you throw.
Yeah, it's the technology, the coaching styles has totally changed. Yeah, when I first came up, it was like, this is what you got, go compete with it, which there's a ton of value in that too.
Right.
But now it's like, so in the game, this is what you got, go compete with it. But then between the game, you got the track man and you got the slow motion camera, so you can be like, why was that not working?
Right. And as opposed to having to guess.
Yeah, and it did it, and that felt like this, and then look at the screen, like, oh, but it was trash. So that's not good.
We don't want that feeling.
Yeah. Or this felt funny, but it was really good. All right, well, let's try to like groove that feeling. So it's just you get that instant feedback, so you can make adjustments so
that's
much
so
quicker.
Cool, man.
Yeah. That's not fair.
When I
pitched, I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And to say that I pitched in his presence is kind of silly because he's another world. Okay, I remember from our visit last year, but one of the best things that ever happened to you in the long run was you injured your arm.
Yeah.
And repeat, just for the people that didn't hear, because you do have an interesting motion, and you told us that it was because that's the only way you can throw and not feel the pain.
Yeah.
It's crazy that that's worked out for you.
Crazy, yeah. It's like all things work together for good, and whether we see it in the moment or not, I truly believe that.
Yeah.
I was with the Padres in the minor leagues at the time, and I was on year three of rehab. I'm like, this isn't working. I'm being like, I am insane, like, to keep trying this. So I remember seeing a buddy that just threw kind of from his ear. It's like, all right, I'll try that. And I just touched the ball to my ear, and I stepped and threw, and I was like, that didn't hurt. You know, and I just kept adding to it, working my way back.
Not amazing.
As you take the first couple of throws, because I imagine at this point, every time you go back to throw, even if it's not like painful, you feel something.
Yeah.
So the first time you do this and you let the ball go, first couple times.
Yeah.
What is going through your mind? Because this is probably the first time in a very long time that you've thrown a baseball and just not felt anything.
No, there's super hesitant, like, what am I doing? You know, like, wasting my time. Yeah, like, is this going to work? But it was kind of like, if not, then I'm going to get released anyways.
Right.
So it was like, what have I got to lose? But yeah, so I just, boom, and I was like, hey, I don't think that hurt, you know? Like, and then I was like, I did it a little harder, and I'm like, yeah, that's all right.
Wow.
Yeah, and then it just kept. So then what I, the unintended consequence is it made my ball spin tighter. It made every, it made my pitches better, and it made me a little deceptive. So
yeah,
I was just trying to survive, and it ended up helping me thrive.
Well, we always enjoy catching up with you, man. You have been a pleasure so far this spring, and I always enjoy getting a chance to spend some time with you, man. You got a great kind of energy about you, man.
Thank you.
I don't mean to make you feel uncomfortable, but I appreciate you because eighth inning, if I have to hit the restroom at home, I know the inning's clean.
No.
Not going to miss anything. Not going to miss anything.
Jason, we appreciate your time, man. Thanks for spending.
Thank you.
Appreciate y'all.
Oh, wow. You know, it was our last interview, so I had to close with something crazy.
No, did you hear him? He's like, no. He must be a superstitious guy.
Probably so, but, man, he's so good. And, yeah, it is interesting because he did have some lights-out performances at the beginning of spring, and then he struggled for a couple of games. But as he said there, the games where he gave up runs, he was feeling better. So that makes me feel better about him going into the season because
When people say spring training doesn't matter, it's stuff like that. Like, if he leaves the game and he feels like he did good, then...
He gave up four runs, but he felt like he pitched well. That's better than giving up no runs and feeling like he didn't, you know, have his best stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Jason Adam.
And it's the whole story behind him being with the Padres and then them rehabbing him getting let go,
and talks
and coming
about,
back.
He did the whole, if you're not watching on YouTube, but he talks about it. The ball basically touches his right ear before he delivers the pitch.
It's crazy. And
he does that because it's the only motion he can do without his arm hurting.
And he can still just sling it in there.
You talk about a crazy, you know, way to discover something. All right. Thanks to Craig and Danny and Darren and Tiffany and anybody else I, you know, hopefully did not leave out from the Padres PR staff for helping us while we were here. You know, we had a great 2 days. I hope you enjoyed all the interviews we were able to give you. We'll be back in San Diego tomorrow.
We're forgetting a thank you.
Uh-oh.
Frank Marchese back on the board.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
I know. Frank's the man.
When I was back in studio and they didn't mention me, I went home and cried, Chris.
Do you
want Frank to cry?
No, I was. I would have got to Frank. He was.
Oh, yeah, you were? You were?
Yeah, he wasn't anyway. For Tony, Scraby, Chris, and Frank Marchese, Padre Baseball is next.